Let's play. Kindy kids have brand new baby sisters, so we ask kids to come meet them and to share what having a sister means to them. What's your favourite thing to do with your sister and why?
I like playing outside with my sister.
Another game that me and Pippi like to play is charades.
When I play with my sister, we like to play dolls.
Which sister are you most excited to play with and why?
How I like playing with my kindy kids is I pretend that they're my children and they always need nappy changes.
I usually like move their arms and legs so they're like things that a baby would do.
When I play with kindy kids, which is Minnie, Mello and Perlina, they make me happy.
Kindy Kids Scented Sisters, available from all good toy retailers.
Hello, welcome. You're listening to Feed, Play, Love, a bite-sized parenting podcast, a place you can find advice, understanding and support as you care for your small humans. I'm Siobhan Hunt. The last 2 years have been a challenge for many when it comes to their mental health. But just how difficult has it been for those new mothers with postnatal depression or mothers-to-be suffering debilitating anxiety prior to birth? Services have been disrupted and sometimes difficult to secure. And now that we're coming out of the various restrictions, are women getting the support they need or is the system overwhelmed? Amelia Walker is the program clinician at the Gidget Foundation. Hi, Amelia. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me, Siobhan.
It's a pleasure. So what options are there for parents currently in Australia if they're suffering from anxiety and or depression during or after pregnancy? Like what are the go-tos?
Yeah, well, look, there are multiple. We are one of them, Gidget Foundation Australia. We support parents during perinatal depression and anxiety during that period, which is from conception through those first 12 months of parenthood. And there are multiple organisations across Australia that can support parents. One sort of first step would be going to the GP and having a chat to your GP or the child and family health nurse if you've just had your little one, and just being able to sort of share with them how you're feeling, and also your midwives who may be more inclined to start asking questions about how you're feeling emotionally, not just physically. And organisations such as Gidget Foundation Australia have participated recently in Perinatal Mental Health Week. And that website, pmhweek.org.au, is a great site to visit because there are 40-plus organisations there that service all different aspects of the perinatal period with regards to mental health.
You mentioned there sort of starting with your GP. I've got friends who've been pregnant through the various lockdowns, and what I've heard from them is that sometimes it's been challenging even to see their GP. I mean, there was a period where GPs weren't seeing people in clinic and you were doing telehealth and all of those sorts of things. Have you seen much impact of the pandemic on women with perinatal anxiety and depression?
Absolutely. Look, our services has increased enormously over this period of time. And, you know, apparently sort of 5% of Australians prior to COVID reported mild to sort of moderate to severe symptoms of depression. And by April last year, that had increased fivefold. And that's a really significant figure, and potentially within our perinatal population, that's all the more so. And it has been very difficult for people to get to their GP. I think we've been very fortunate in that there has been a transition and openness to that transition to telehealth, which has made access to some services even more available to people who once, you know, in remote or rural communities couldn't even access those services. So there is a little bit of a silver lining, but there is certainly an enormous wait for people even getting to see their GPs. And where we might have had opportunities to kind of gauge how we're feeling in comparison to others, or maybe notice things in others, for example, in mothers' groups or other parenting environments, those were sort of taken away for those couple of years for people. So these little other avenues where we might have noticed things just not quite being quite right for a friend of ours or for ourselves, those opportunities to reflection weren't available.
You mentioned there that there were on the Perinatal Mental Health Week that website has over around 40 different organisations. And I know in my work I have seen there are lots of great groups like the Gidget Foundation, like Panda and Cope and places like that, Beyond Blue, that are online and all doing incredible work to try and support women during this time, and men, of course. But is the disruption during COVID, was the problem with that that most people would try to see their GP before reaching out to an organisation like Gidget Foundation? Like, has that been part of the upset in that gap of people needing help and then getting the support they need?
Gosh, it's a really good question. I'm not sure if that's the case. For us, we've always needed people to go to their GP because we can offer free service through the Better Access system, so they have to go to their GP. So overall, possibly that has hindered things slightly, but I actually think a lot of that sort of delay may well be simply because it's potentially taken us longer to even know when we should start reaching out. Like, oh, well, I'll do that when lockdown finishes. Or I'll just get through this next week. Maybe the parameters of restrictions will change. Or if I just hold on, or I just keep working a little longer into my maternity leave. I think the parameters and boundaries of what we're able to have allowed ourselves to do may have shifted. But I also think that more and more people are suffering from mental health challenges because of the pandemic. So there is just a natural stress on the resources. So even if people are accessing their GP at the time that they would have done prior to the pandemic, so many more people are doing the same where before they may not have needed to.
What about the more severe cases of perinatal anxiety or depression where women know that they need medication and perhaps the pregnancy has meant they've need to come off their medication or to get a different type of medication? And again, you're seeing that disruption in service because it's difficult to get into the GP, etc. Do you have any advice for people who've been impacted that way?
Oh, look, I think that's so challenging, isn't it? Because I think when we go through an enormous adjustment like pregnancy, if we're already on medication, then all sorts of questions can come to mind about whether we're doing the right thing. And sometimes we feel that we've got to make big decisions really quickly around that. And for those who have been in that position, my heart goes out to you because I know that's a really big dilemma for a lot of people who reach out to Gidget Foundation. I think now that, you know, there is a bit more opportunity to get out into community settings and maybe into accessing the PIMS teams at hospitals, maybe chatting it through with your midwives again, or just revisiting the decisions that you made. There are specific perinatal psychiatrists who are available. Look, it's difficult, I know, to get in, but just to know that, firstly, you're not alone in that sort of dilemma, and that it's really important to feel that you can say to your GP, this is an urgent appointment I need to make to the receptionist, and really just, I guess, advocate for yourself or ask someone to advocate on your behalf to get an appointment as soon as possible so that you can make those decisions, because they are time pressured when you're pregnant if you're considering making adjustments to medication.
And I know there is a health line you can call when you're pregnant about medications that are safe during pregnancy. I don't suppose you know whether they would be able to say whether the anti-anxiety or depression medication women might be on previous to falling pregnant would be okay, because you can be seeing a lot of different health professionals and you may be told by someone who can't tell you necessarily whether that medication is safe or not to go off it. Do you know what I'm saying there?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of misconception. We get a lot of people who contact us saying, oh, my GP said I have to come off this medication, or my best friend was on this medication and was told to come off it. And there's a lot of misinformation there. I think it's really important to get consistent information. And that isn't necessarily going to be from the GP because they're not trained in the specifics of psychiatric support during pregnancy or postnatally. Getting clarity around that. If I don't have access right now to that number, but I think that would be a really helpful number to provide the listeners, and also contacting the mental health access line, who may be able to give the contact number for services such as that that can give you information. But I would be pretty certain that organisations such as Panda, alongside ourselves and COPE, would not give medication advice over the phone.
No. Okay. Well, I'll have a look at that. If I can find the number, I'll pop it in the notes of this episode. Do we know whether services are coping now, given that restrictions are easing? Because you hear that in lots of different areas of the medical profession, that people put off appointments during lockdown and now they're kind of swamping the system. Do you know what it's like for those reaching out for help now? I mean, how's the Gidget Foundation going?
Yes, so we last year we called it the COVID lag. We had sort of a period right after or during COVID, we were thinking we would be really busy, and our service increased. But then there was a little period of time, and then suddenly, boom! I guess once restrictions lifted, people were more accessing services more, and we've certainly experienced that just increasing onward from there. I mean, for us, we had our, you know, record appointment delivery over the last 3 months. And October, for example, this year was up 57% on October last year. And wait lists are just, a sad reality. I think the APS, which is the Australian Psychology Society, said that in a recent survey, they found that 56% of psychologists have a wait list of 3 months or have closed their books. So there is this sort of wave, I guess, of people now seeking support. We've felt it just increasing in a very ongoing capacity. It hasn't, since that COVID lag last year that I spoke of, it's just increased every month. We haven't had a sudden sort of influx since the restrictions were lifted. But I know for other services that is the case. And I am ever hopeful that, you know, I guess where people have closed their books, they are able to then consolidate for this year or the next couple of months and then reopen books, wait lists, etc. after the festive season, and things may have had some chance to sort of catch up on themselves a little bit.
So if someone's listening now and they know that they or their partner needs help, what's the process if they want to get in touch with someone at the Gidget Foundation?
Yes. So they would go to their GP and get a GP referral and mental health care plan made out to the Gidget Foundation Australia. And then they would call us and they would we service nationally, so we have locations all across Australia, including telehealth services that were available prior to lockdown for our lovely regional and rural communities. And the number is 1-300-851-758. So I recommend calling that number once you've got your referral and mental health care plan, and you can then be added to our wait list so that we can hopefully see you in the new year and give you some support. But until that time, it's really worth contacting Panda. Always contact Lifeline. They're a 24/7 service who are there for you no matter what. And of course, your GP, mental health care nurse.
So even if someone, I suppose there's not much longer left to this year, but if people are wanting help now, their best bet is to try Panda or Lifeline, because you're taking appointments now for next year. Would that be right?
Correct. And I think that's the case for most services I know of. I guess, as you say, we're very close to the new year now anyway. But yes, we're taking appointments for the new year from now on. So the benefit of Panda is that they're a free phone counselling service. So it's not consistent support with the same person, but they're all perinatal specialists and very fantastic to chat through things on the phone. And I also just recommend seeing your GP and trying to find maybe a private service that can support you until services like Gidget Foundation may be able to sort of take you up in the new year.
Excellent. Well, Amelia, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's Amelia Walker. She's a program clinician at the Gidget Foundation, and we'll put links to all of those websites she mentioned in the notes of this episode. I'm Siobhan Hunt. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate and review us so we can reach and help even more parents. And if you have a topic you'd like me to cover, send your email to feedplaylove@theparentbrand.com.au. See you next time.